Speaking on this program is Roger Comstock.
I'm glad that you can be with us. I guess I explain with every program that we do that this program is a little bit different than many of the programs that are on, in that some lessons we do really don't, we are not Bible lessons per se, but the title of our program, Shelter in a Time of Storm, we try to deal with difficult issues in people's lives and try to deal with the storms that are in people's lives. And so we talk about a lot of different subjects. Some of them are just simple practical things and really aren't Bible-based, but obviously some of our lessons are very biblically based. Today we're going to be talking about care for our elderly parents. This hits home with me very closely because I provide care for my mother and father. My father has just recently been necessary to move him to a nursing home, and they are 91 and 93, respectively. And so they need our care. But this issue has been very hard lessons to learn and sometimes difficult issues to deal with. I realize in our own congregation that there are so many of our folks who are dealing with these same issues as we, I guess, of the baby boomer generation are now needing to care for our parents and provide the things for them that they need. And so that's basically what we're going to be talking about in the next three or four lessons. First of all, let me begin with Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon is the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, and the entirety of the book up to chapter 12, Solomon is talking about his search in life for happiness. He talks about all the different things that he's tried and basically has tried everything under the sun. Well, in trying those things, he comes to one conclusion about the world's pleasures and the happiness that are afforded through worldly pleasures. And his conclusion is that all is vanity. He realizes that the most important thing, as he concludes the book, is for a man to have a relationship with God, to fear God and keep his commandments. For that's the whole duty, or the whole of man, chapter 12 and verse 13. So the beginning of chapter 12 takes a little bit of a different tone. The beginning of chapter 12 is rather poetic and very pretty, as he's describing old age. As I think about it, and as I age myself, I wish aging were as pretty as Solomon makes those words sound. He begins by reminding young people to respect God. And if we learn that in our early years, it'll be there for us in our older years as well. But as I said, Solomon describes the aging process as being almost pretty and very poetic words that are used there in our English translations. And so we need to understand that there is the aging process. And part of life is getting older, obviously. I guess from the moment we're born, we begin a trek toward the grave. And as morbid as that may sound, that's the reality. One of the things that I think is very important in dealing with our elderly parents is that we need to be very honest. We need to honestly acknowledge the things that they need and realize where they are. These things, it's often very easy to be in denial about what they're able to do and not able to do. And so being very, very honest with ourselves is of the utmost importance for their well-being and for their safety as well. I think it's also important that we remember certainly a valid Bible principle. We call it the Golden Rule. To do unto others as you would have others do unto you is a principle that the Lord taught us. And so we need to take that into consideration when we are caring for our elderly parents. We need to treat our elderly parents the way we would want to be treated. They are going through a lot of changes in their lives, and they are affected in ways that we probably don't realize. And so it really is important that we remember the Golden Rule and take care of them and provide for them in a way that we would want to be cared for. Some of that comes down just to basic communication in talking to our parents and discussing these life changes with them in a way that we would want to be addressed and speak of those things. as we're younger and mobile and able to do whatever we want to do, we probably don't even begin to realize the value of our independence. We want to do something, we get in a car and go. Or if it's across town or across the world, we just get up and go and make plans to go wherever we'd like to go, whether it's to Walmart or the other side of the world. As we age, that independence certainly is compromised. That independence becomes a very valuable commodity. And I think sometimes we fail to recognize how important that independence is for our elderly parents as well, because they value it. And I think it's very important that we protect their independence as long as possible and give them every form of that independence that we possibly can. As I said a moment ago, they're going through a lot of changes in their lives. Sometimes it means leaving a home that they have lived in for many, many years, maybe their entire married life in some cases. And so there are with those changes, as young people or younger folks, we adapt to change rather easily. But our older parents may not adapt to change as easily as we would like. They may not be able to change just on a whim as we might think we could. And so we need to be understanding and sympathetic toward them, realizing the difficulty of change. But we also need to realize the importance of when to change. And be honest with ourselves and be objective about the changes that are necessary. So how do we determine when those changes need to be? A major consideration is the safety of our loved ones. Maybe because of their lack of mobility, they may not be able to get around in the home the way they once did. They may not be able to maneuver steps and things like that as they once did. And so their safety is a major, major concern. And being able to provide for them certainly is a concern as well. When they begin to come to a point in their life where they need assistance in, if they're in the home or whatever the situation is, we need to be objective about those things and not fool ourselves, not deceive ourselves about what they are able to do. But again, we need to have open communication and discuss these things with them and talk about these issues, because it's their life that is going to be changed the most dramatically. And so they certainly need to have a role in talking about those things. You know, it may be difficult, but in evaluating those things, we need to sort of monitor our parents. And when I say monitor, I think we need to do that in a very unintrusive sort of way. We just be very observant. Watch them in situations where you're with them, whether in their home or out somewhere else. We need just observe their mobility and how they get up and get down. How do they move about, and how alert are they visually and hearing wise and so forth? And watch all of those things and be very observant as we get older, as Solomon would describe. Those things that we probably take for granted now, those become compromised as our bodies change and we age. We lose some of those abilities that we once enjoyed. There are some specific areas that we're going to talk about that I believe we need to monitor. One of those certainly are the financial decisions. We'll talk about that in more detail in a moment. We need to observe their mobility, as I've already said. We need to observe their social life. You know, one of the things we fail to recognize, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, my parents are now in the early to mid-90s. My mother's 93 years old. Most of her friends and most of her family members have already passed away. And so we need to be aware and pay attention to the social life of our loved ones, because our social life is such an important part of us and how we function and what we do from day to day. Is it possible to remain in the home? That's a big, big question. And not only can they remain in the home, but what do we do? If they cannot remain in the home, then what decisions do we need to make? we need to recognize also that there are major changes in their physical needs. As far as diet, as far as their health concerns, and as our bodies age, they're not as flexible as they once were. They don't work like they once did. The digestive system, our cardiovascular system, those things don't function as well. And so we need to be very observant of the needs of our loved ones and those medical and physical concerns. So first of all, let's talk about the financial concerns. First of all, as I said, I've said a couple of times already, it is vitally important that you have open communication. As long as your parents are mentally able to handle their finances, then they should handle their finances. And that open discussion will make the job so much easier. Sometimes, particularly with people who are of the, as the news reporter Tom Brokaw would describe, of the greatest generation, we need to remember that those folks came through the Depression years. Many of them have struggled through life. And so as maybe they have gotten to an older time in their life, they oftentimes become very protective of that security in their finances, the things they've worked for and earned. And so they may not turn loose of those things easily. But it's important that we stress to them that they are the priority, that they're number one, and our interest in their finances is only for their well-being, not for what they can save for us and that we might get when they pass away. But we need to make sure we stress to them that they are the most important topic and subject as far as their finances. Many of our older folks didn't prepare for being 90 years old. And so finances may be very, very limited and very difficult and may not have very much to work with. And so we need to help them through their finances in helping them maintain their independence as long as possible. And their finances may be a major issue in that. Are they financially able to maybe to live in an assisted living facility? Or because of finances, it may be necessary for them to live with you or with another family member. Just managing the checkbook can be a burden. And so we need to be helpful with our parents. Help them to make sure they're writing checks correctly so that someone doesn't take advantage of them. Make sure that the necessary deposits are made. And now we have so easy with a direct deposit of retirement checks and so forth, it makes it very easy. But also we need to make sure that they're balancing their checkbook. And so you don't start getting those little notices from the bank that have a little fee attached to them, those overdraft statements. And so we need to be cautious of those things. You may need to help them remember to pay the bills and pay them in a timely manner. One of the ways you can do that is by setting up what I would refer to as one of these accordion-type files for them. They may be have a slot in it for each day of the month, and you can put in each slot the bills that are due or necessary that need to be paid on a particular day and help them organize those bills and help them to remember to go check that file and make sure they're keeping up with things as they should. A very important aspect of this discussion is a phrase that's referred to as a durable power of attorney. POA is abbreviated, the acronym. Again, you need to make sure that you and your parents understand exactly what a durable power of attorney is. Durable power of attorney can be limited to finances. It might be limited to physical concerns. It might cover both of those or in every area of their life. But we need to remember that durable power of attorney isn't a license to do with their things just whatever we want to do. Being the durable power of attorney, along with it comes the responsibility of caring for them as they need. And so they will need to be mentally capable and able to sign documents granting durable power of attorney to you or some loved one or some individual, maybe the family attorney, maybe someone else that will be responsible for their funds and helping them manage those things. I also want to stress how important it is to take care of some of these things before they become essential. talk about these things in a casual way for a good time before they're actually needed. And then when they actually need to do a power of attorney, the subject will have already been breached, will be easier to talk about, and thus won't be have the difficult connections to it. We need to make sure that they understand, as I've already said, that they are your most important concern, and their money, their finances, and their assets are there for their benefit. It's not about saving it for the next generation. It's about providing them in a way that they need. I would also stress that you need to know where everything is in the way of important documents. Maybe they keep a safe in the house where life insurance policies and the will and those different maybe deeds and titles to vehicles, someplace where those important papers are kept in a secure way. But you need to know where those are. If you are the durable power of attorney, you need to have access to those documents and know where they are to where you can find them and put your hands on them basically in a moment's notice. You can, as far as personal belongings, different personal items around the house, maybe a china cabinet or maybe a particular ring or whatever the article is, that there can be a list made of those personal items and your parents can designate who they want to receive those things. And even though that may not be a legal binding contract or a legally binding will, it certainly tells us what they want. Because whether we're the power of attorney or whether maybe we're the executor of their will and the executor of their estate, our interest needs to be their interest. Our interest needs to be what's best for them and what they want. You see, even with the executor being executor of a will, the powers are very limited for the executor of a will. The will dictates the powers of the executor, and the executor only has the right to do what that will dictates. It's an obligation, a responsibility to carry out the things that are stated in that will as are necessary. If we don't talk about these things, if we don't, I'll just tell you, I've never talked about finances with my parents. I don't know what their finances were or didn't know until I became their power of attorney and began to provide their care. We never talked about those things. And so our older parents may be hesitant even to talk about their finances with you. In that case, they can go and you can advise them or encourage them to see a financial advisor or an estate planner. And these people who do this for a living, and they do it very well, and there may be some fees involved, and so that may be an avenue that that you can use in order to address those things. One of the things that also becomes a concern is about how our parents get around, their mobility. We need to be cautious of those things and conscious of their hearing and their eyesight. We need to make observation, an honest observation. It may require getting in the car with your 90-year-old father and letting them drive down the road and you just seeing how well they drive or maybe how poorly they drive and whether they're a danger to themselves or maybe a danger to other people. And so we need to watch them and watch those things. Watch their step, as we've already talked about. Watch their feet and how they move and how they get up out of a chair and how they get down into a chair and how good they can move around and do those things. And again, it may be necessary to seek professional help for someone to be in the home and in order for them to stay in the home if that's financially feasible. You may want to go with them when it's time to renew their driver's license to the Department of Motor Vehicles. And sometimes, in some states, they offer classes for the elderly to help them kind of refresh those driving skills to lessen the likelihood of them harming themselves or someone else. Know when their driver's license is due to be renewed and go with them. They may need someone to drive them home. And that's a major step in this discussion about independence. when our loved ones lose the ability to drive and lose their driver's license, that's a major, major blow to their independence, to their ego, to their pride. And so we need to deal with these things in a very compassionate sort of way. Again, practicing the golden rule. When they can no longer drive, we need to make provisions for them. Whether that's to hire someone to drive them, maybe a friend or neighbor, I would exercise caution about just getting just anyone. Well, you don't know who you can trust. So if there's maybe a friend or a family member, or maybe a member of the church that would be capable of taking them and willing to take them and to run their errands with them and so forth. There may be the possibility of public transportation available that you can use. There are also some services for the elderly that you can look up, even look up in the Yellow Pages, that provide transportation for senior adults. And so take advantage of those things and look those things up and be educated about those things. There are a lot of agencies that provide help for the elderly. They're there for our use. So take advantage of them. Use those resources that are available. Encourage your parents to be willing to ask for help. You know, a lot of people just don't want to ask for help. They don't want to be a burden to people. And so they simply don't ask. And because of that, they go without the things they need. They don't do the things they need to do. And so encourage them to let you know, along with you being observant, to let you know their needs and what specifically they need. You can accompany them to things so that they keep as much of their life as normal as possible for them. Accompany them maybe to different kind of social things or public events if they like concerts or plays or that sort of thing, that you can accompany them. Find a place in your schedule to help them in those things. I think it's great also to encourage the church family to participate in our older loved ones. I think it's wonderful for our younger families, maybe even to adopt an elderly person in the congregation. But there may be someone who lives in their neighborhood that could pick them up and drop them off at the times for worship so that they can be there and be regular and continue that part of their social life and their spiritual life in worshiping to God as God would have us to do. And so we can help them in that regard. As far as the driving, just to wrap that up, when that time comes, you might encourage them to give the car to someone who really needs it. Maybe a family member, maybe someone in the congregation who really needs a better vehicle to be able to get around. You might be able to work out some kind of a swap there that you'll give them the title to this car, and in exchange they agree to take them on errands maybe one day a week or something. Anything that you can work out to help them in that regard. But we have to be observant about those things. It's important that we maintain as much of their social life as possible and keep their life as normal as possible within the limitations, the physical limitations that they may have. You see, when you take out the social life, a real danger is the danger of depression. And with that depression, it just can sort of self-perpetuate. It gets worse and worse and worse. So seek out places maybe that they can be involved in the work of the church. We so desperately need workers in the church and need our older folks who are retired and maybe have the time to give of themselves to help in the work of the church. You know, there's nothing in Scripture about retiring from being a Christian. And I hear people different times say, well, you know, I taught that Sunday school class for 30 years. It's about time somebody else did it. That's not the way we ought to look at things, in my opinion. Certainly we need to train others to take our place. But why give up something that you've done well for 30 years or longer in maybe in the teaching of a class or some other particular work of the church? Make sure that you include them in your family, in family gatherings, so they feel valuable, they feel important, they feel a part of the family, that they don't feel excluded from the family. whether it may, distance may be an issue, so make sure you make regular phone calls. Seek out places, I mentioned the church, but seek out other places where our loved ones can volunteer. My father-in-law is 93. He volunteers 2 days a week at the local hospital. He's gotten to where he thinks the hospital can't function without him. I tease him about doing brain surgery. He doesn't do that, but he values that time of being with other people, and he sees himself as being a benefit of helping people. And that's a very good thing, and it's great for him. We mentioned that distance may be an issue. If they use email, that's a great way to keep in touch. Certainly phone calls, sending pictures. Maybe help them, or maybe you make a scrapbook of your family things and give them a scrapbook of and keep it up to date so they keep in touch or keep up to date on the activities of the grandchildren and other family issues. Encourage them to document their lives. And what I mean by that is that encourage them to write down their life history, if you will. Maybe keep a journal. But those things that you and I might forget, those things that were big events in their lives, encourage them to write about that so that there's a record, not just for you, but for maybe for you to pass on down maybe to your grandchildren. Encourage them to create new, safe, and I emphasize safe, relationships, friendships. There are a lot of people who take advantage of our elderly folks, and that's a disgrace, but we need to protect them. So encourage them to be more involved in their social life and in the life of the church. We're about out of time for a program today. We haven't thoroughly covered this subject, but I hope you get the point. And let me stress again the importance of us caring for our elderly folks and providing for them, and remember the golden rule and treat them as we would want to be treated. We try to close every program by extending an invitation to worship with a Church of Christ in your area. God has given us His Word that directs us, and we believe that that Word is to direct us in the work of the church, in our religious, our spiritual lives. And so if you'll find a Church of Christ, a faithful Church of Christ, I can assure you they'll trust in God's Word to lead and guide in the different aspects of our lives. I pray that you'll have a great day.